Health Minister Stephen Donnelly joins us in studio. You're very welcome to the programme.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me on.
After everything that's been said in the past few days, is this site at Ellen Park still the best site for the hospital?
I think it is the best site for the hospital, and I don't think anyone is disagreeing with that. In fact, I think there's pretty broad agreement as to what's needed. We need a modern maternity hospital for women, mums and babies. We need it quickly. It must have full clinical independence. It must provide the full range of healthcare services. And we need to protect the state investment. So there's a lot of progress has been made. There is this issue around ownership of the site. It was part of the negotiations in 2017 and 2018. There was a 99-year lease proposed. There's now a 149-year lease proposed. But my
It's 149 now.
Yeah. So we secured an additional 50-year option a few months back. However, even though the department and the HSE are poring over the legals to make sure that the full independence of the maternity hospital is bulletproof, that's all happening. Nonetheless, my strong preference would be that we own the site.
So will you make an offer, say a very public offer, as Catherine Murphy says, to make the site, to buy the site from the Sisters of Charity or the entity that may hold it at this point?
I think the recent statements by St. Vincent's and the Sisters of Charity are very interesting, and I'm going to be engaging with both stakeholders on that.
So you will make an offer?
And I can state publicly that my strong preference, and indeed the government's strong preference, and I'd say everybody's strong preference, is that the state owns the site.
Okay, so when will you make that offer?
Well, I can't speak to exactly what offers will be made and so forth, because there has been an ongoing negotiation and the various parties have been negotiating in good faith. But what I can say to you is I am going to be engaging with the Sisters of Charity, with St. Vincent's, and my strong view is that the state should own the site. And if anything can be done to that end, we will do it. I am very aware that Simon Harris, when he was Minister for Health, did try to secure this and that it wasn't possible at the time. But I think it is an important issue. And even if the full independence of the National Maternity Hospital is secured through the contract, and the strong legal advice I have is that that is the case, it would still obviously be preferable for us to own the site.
And what about the board then? If you owned the site, would the government be able to appoint a majority or indeed all of the board?
Well, it's interesting, because if you own the site, the governance structure changes potentially. There's quite an elaborate governance structure was put in place. It was recommended in the so-called Mulvey Agreement in 2016, where there are three boards. There are various people appointed to various boards. But if we owned the site, it would simplify that. But what I would say, Carol, is that the point of the composition of the boards and the legal framework that was brought to government in 2018 was to ensure the full clinical and operational and financial independence of the National Maternity Hospital. And I'm very happy to state here categorically, as I have in the Oireachtas and I have previously, I will not be bringing any recommendation to government for this hospital if there is not absolute certainty on the clinical and operational independence of it.
And indeed, the nuns have said that they will have no role in the running of the hospital or deciding the ethos. Do you take them at their word? Because clearly not everybody does.
I absolutely do. And the Sisters of Charity are ready to transfer their full shareholding to this holding company. So, yes, I absolutely do believe that they are stepping back from healthcare. And also, there's an awful lot of work has been done on the legal side to make sure that the governance structure protects the independence of the NMH. So all of the services that are provided in the NMH today will be provided if and when this hospital is built at St. Vincent's. And I do believe we need to get it built. I believe women, mums and babies need this. It would be co-located with an absolutely excellent adult teaching hospital, which is St. Vincent's. And it's a very, very important part of a huge priority for this government, which is essentially we need a revolution in women's healthcare.
OK, let's turn to vaccines. And it is reported today by the Sunday Business Post that a booster programme is on the way. So say, for instance, for those in nursing homes who received their vaccinations back in January, February, how soon are they going to start needing a booster, and when will they get it?
The work on that is just beginning, Carol. So what I asked earlier on this week was that a detailed plan was put together, not just for potential booster vaccines, but for an autumn and winter vaccination programme. So what we'll be looking at is the flu vaccination programme. It'll probably be the biggest flu vaccination programme we've ever had. We have catch-up vaccinations to do on things like HPV. We'll have normal school vaccinations, and indeed we'll have ongoing COVID vaccinations. And as variants arrive, there may need to be augmented
vaccines. Boosters will be part of that.
Well, boosters could be. So the chief medical officer and I met earlier this week. I've asked that a full plan is put together that incorporates all of these different vaccination programs. You see, the wonderful benefit we have now is we have these vaccination centres. Now, some of them obviously will have to revert back. There are sports centres being used. There are stadiums being used. But the feedback I'm getting from all over the country is that these vaccination centres are working very, very well. So I've asked the department and the HSE to pull together a plan that capitalises on the phenomenal work that's been done on the vaccination programme. We have these vaccination centres, and to see can we bring all of the different strands of vaccination through autumn and winter together.
Now, you spoke to your Northern Ireland counterpart, Robin Swan. Is Northern Ireland going to require visitors coming into Belfast to fill out passenger locator forms and for that data to be shared with the South?
No, it's not. We would very much like that to be the case, and we have requested that. But what Minister Swan has said is that is not possible. What we're doing is sending data from the Republic to Northern Ireland. So that there's been a lot of work done on this. Minister Swan and I have met three times in the last few weeks. Our understanding is that in a few weeks' time, there's already information sent, but that in a few weeks' time, the more comprehensive information will be sent. So essentially, if you're landing in the Republic, but your destination is Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland will be made aware, and they can contact you and engage in public health measures with you. Now, what I would very much like is that people arriving into Belfast from Britain, whose final destination is the Republic, that we would receive notification of that.
But that's not agreed.
Well, it's not that it's not agreed. Well, it's not agreed. But the reason it's not agreed is that Northern Ireland are saying they don't collect that information because for them it's an internal border, and they would say it's no different to someone driving from Kerry to Dublin that we don't collect that information. So what they're not refusing to give us the information. They don't collect the information. However, we are watching the Delta variant. The spike in Britain and the spike in Derry, for example, very, very closely. And we are concerned about it. There's no question.
Now, this 4 billion in money that Leo Varadkar says that he wants the health department to keep. What could you do? Tell me two things that you could do with that money if you were allowed to keep it.
Two things I would do is accelerate our very ambitious plans on women's healthcare and on waiting lists. There's an awful lot more. The big ambition is universal healthcare, which means that anybody who needs healthcare in this country gets it when they need it, and that it's high quality care. And we know that that simply is not the case with waiting lists and our two-tier public-private system. Two big focuses we have right now are women's healthcare. We're doing a lot, and we plan to do an awful lot more. And we have a very ambitious plan that we're finalising on the waiting lists, because the current waiting lists, they're simply not acceptable in our country today.
Okay, Stephen Donnelly, Health Minister, thank you very much for coming into us today. We're